It is great to be here this morning. Great being here with those of you who are with us on Facebook, those folks in Fairbanks that are with us, and my sister there, and Alberta Atwater from North Carolina is with us this morning. And so we just welcome you here this morning. Kim, I hope everything is going well there. Glad you're here with us this morning. Today, when I was sitting here waiting for all of you all to show up, I know you're not supposed to turn your back to the audience, but I was sitting here and I was looking out the window, you know, like small congregations do, and they see somebody walking up, and I'm like, who is that? I don't know that guy. And so all of a sudden, now everybody else looking out the window, like, do you know him? No, I don't know him. And then I'm like peering. I'm like, okay, that's the way we welcome people, right? You know, I don't know who he is. I don't know. Okay. And so then I see my big brother Kit, who stands about 6'5", I think. And he's talking to this gentleman. And then I see Kit give him a big old hug. You know, this guy's feet are off the ground. I'm like, okay, I guess Kit knows him. It's all good. Anyway, come to find out that Brother Tim O'Leary is here with us this morning, former youth pastor here. And so it's just great to have him here. He's sitting with one of his former students. And so I guess he did something right. Or somebody listened to you, Tim. You know, they're still coming here on Sundays and worshiping, right, brother? Oh, there you go. I have a heart for youth and youth leaders, and so I thank you, brother. I thank you for all you have done. It's a sacrifice, and so there's a lot of joy in that ministry, and sometimes there's some pain in it also, but thank you so much for raising up another generation of believers. All right. Anyway. Well, all right. There's still another generation if you want them. All right. Come on. All right. Well, let me get going because I'm already, oh, man. I think maybe if we start on time, I wouldn't get so nervous when I see that clock already going tick, tick, tick. Anyway, we're on our part five of doing the right thing the wrong way. And this morning we'll be looking into a number of passages, but Exodus 17:1-7 is the passage in which we will start from. Doing the right thing the wrong way can be disastrous. Thinking that we're doing the right thing and we're doing it the wrong way. People know what the right thing is. In or outside of these walls, people know what the right thing is, and they know what the wrong thing is, too. And doing the wrong thing is confusing, is whether you're inside the walls or not. Like, I don't get that, because I know that that's not right. I know what they're trying to do is right, but they're doing it the wrong way. And it lends to confusion, and it also leads to a bad taste in one's mouth. They're like, you know what? I'm not down with what's going on in there. God wants us to do the right thing, but he wants us to do it the right way. I think a lot of this has to do with our attitude in which we are trying to do the right thing. And we've looked over the last couple of weeks. There's a couple of men who prayed, but it was because of their attitude in which they prayed, the Pharisees saying, oh, I'm glad I'm not like that guy, as opposed to the tax collector who said, I'm a sinner. It was their heart. It was their attitude. We looked at the two men who built houses, right? That house is actually us, our body, right? And how building a firm foundation, building it on what His Word gives us, as opposed to what the world gives us. When you build it, your foundation on the world, you'll always slide away. We also looked at two people who question God. Is it okay to question God? Yes, it is, but you need to ask, or I would say come correct. You need to ask Him in with the right attitude in the right way. And last week we studied about King David and on how being a little bit overzealous for God, which is the right thing to do, but the way he brought in the covenant was the wrong way. Trying to bring it in on a cart when that's not the way he was supposed to do it. It was supposed to be brought in by men. And so although his heart was in the right place, he was doing things the wrong way. He wasn't being obedient in the way that they were supposed to bring that cart in or bring the covenant in. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about anger. When bad things are being done, which is right, but we will look at Moses who did the right thing, but did it in the wrong way. And we'll be reading several passages, but before we get started, I want us to go ahead and pull up that verse for us, DJ, that one that we are committing to memory. Some of us first time here, and they don't know what that verse is, so be more than welcome to look up on the screen. So, it says, do your best to present yourself to God, one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Where's that found? There you go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us your word. And I pray that we do handle your word of truth in a way that is honoring to you. Father, I ask that you would be with me this morning and let me share no more than what I'm supposed to. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so quick poll. Which of the following things cause people to get angry? All right. Is it people who are texting while you're talking? That took a little while as a youth pastor. I'm like, I'm talking to you. And they're like, yeah, I got you. All right. Is it that or is it people who are always late? Okay. That's probably goes up to the top. All right. Companies that make you scroll through a zillion options before you get to speak to a live person. If this is a thing, then push number two. And then push number four. And then eventually you are a valued customer. And so hold on. Your expected waiting time is 30 minutes, you know? Okay. How about people who are driving crazy, especially those that slow down? And I think I find this more with those tourists that come up here. And they're like, oh, look, a fox. And we're like, yeah, okay. You know, don't have to slow down everybody to see that, you know. That may make you angry. How about people who talk during the movie? You're trying to watch a movie. You paid your money. $15 to get in, and then someone behind you has already watched it, and they're narrating it, right? How about people who are rude? There's no good reason for being rude. You know, like the people who, like, just cut in line. Are you kidding? Are you kidding me right now? You just cut in front of me. Oh, I'm with them. Oh, man. How about your computer when it doesn't want to work right? Does that get you mad? Anger is is present in all of our lives. We have all lost it with strangers and even with family members and friends. For some of us, though, anger seems to show up more often than it should. We are living in a society that anger is a major problem. You know, there's a thing called road rage, you know. Now there's a thing called air rage. Have you heard of that? People, you know, during COVID and all these restrictions, I'm wearing a mask inside the plane and all of that. They're calling it air rage. People get upset and they start getting, they're angry with the people, the flight attendant and everybody. It's crazy. So what makes you mad? What makes you angry? The answer is none of them make us angry. We decide whether or not to be angry. It's an emotion that we feel, but how we deal with it is an important thing. So let's take a look at God's Word and what it has to say about handling anger. If you will, turn to Exodus, the 17th chapter, and we start with verses 1 through 7. And it says, all the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages according to the commandment of the Lord and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water. And the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried to the Lord, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, is the Lord among us or not? Moses was told to strike the rock, and water was to come out of it. He did what the Lord commanded. He did what the Lord commanded. He struck the rock. It was a miracle. Water coming out of a rock. All right. So then we have the people that they are complaining yet a second time now. Okay. And so for that portion of scripture, we're gonna go to Numbers 20. 2 through 13. And it says, now there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people quarreled with Moses and said, What that we had perished with when our brothers perished before the Lord? Why have you brought the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness that we should die here? Both we and our cattle? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is no place for grain or figs or pomegranates, and there is no water to drink. When Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the entrance of the tent meeting and fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock, for them to give to drink to the congregation and their cattle. And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded it. And then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given you." So let me just say something right quick, all right? These two episodes, these Israelites, they're always complaining. If it wasn't one thing, it was another. Always, consistently. And so just know that the people who complained about the water the first time, this is a whole different group of people. All right? This group of people are the survivors of the other ones who have been walking the desert for 40 years. They're just about done. They're getting ready to walk into the promised land, right? So this is a new group of people. These are the children of those folks. And now they're the ones complaining. They're out of water. This got Moses upset, and he talked to God, and God told him, just speak to the rock. God didn't tell Moses the second time to hit the rock. But Moses was so angry with the people, constantly complaining about this and about that. Oh, can we have something to eat? We want some meat. We want this. I'm going to leave that alone. Moses was angry. He had had enough. And he started yelling at the people. And he says, "Do I have to hit the rock again?" He says, "You people make me mad, make me sick. I'm tired of your stuff." And Moses hit the rock. It was right for Moses to be angry with these people. He'd been dealing with them for way too long. But the way he dealt with them was the wrong way. He lost his temper. And a temper is the one thing you cannot get rid of by losing it. What was the result of Moses losing his temper? He was punished. He was not allowed to actually bring the people into the promised land. He had to die in the wilderness. Some people might think, man, that's a little bit hard. Come on. Moses has been there ever since parting of the Red Sea. He was there from the very beginning when they left Egypt. But now because of this thing, because he struck the rock, God said, you can't come into the promised land. You don't get to lead the people into the promised land. How sad. What did he do wrong? What is so bad about hitting the rock? So first of all, what was bad about hitting the rock? Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. So he wasn't obedient to God's word. He was disobedient. But that's one thing that God doesn't play with. He calls us to be obedient. In Ephesians 4, 26 through 27, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give an opportunity to the devil." All anger is not sin. Paul wrote, "Be angry and not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." That's easy enough to say, but how can we do it? How can we be good and mad? Not good and mad, all right, but good and mad. Jesus shows us how. Unlike most of us, he was never angry. He was never wrong. He didn't get angry when people said things to him. Even when he was dying on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Although Jesus could be gracious, forgiving to things being done wrong to himself, he didn't take kindly to those who did wrong to others, especially the poor and hurting people. Religious authorities, you know, the Pharisees were criticizing him for healing the crippled man. We find this in Mark 3. He says, and he looked around them with anger. He was tired of their mess. And he healed that one. When money changers in the temple took advantage of the poor foreigners, he took whips and drove them out. We find this in John 2, 13 through 17, where Jesus, he goes through and the temple and found these selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and money changers sitting there, and making a whip of cords, he drove them out of the temple with sheep and oxen. And he said, and he poured out the coin of the money changers and overturned the tables. And told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me, den of thieves. He blasted the scribes. He says in Matthew 23, he tells the folks, he says, hey, listen to what the Pharisees are telling you, but don't act like them. Don't be like them. When the weak suffer at the hands of those who are strong or wealthy, he's saying it's right to get angry about something. Just don't sin in it. If he wouldn't have gotten angry because everybody sees Jesus holding the little lamb, but Jesus got angry. He turned up tables and said, not here. You're not going to do this in my Father's place. Not all anger is sin, but some is. If we don't want sin when we get angry, we have to learn how to deal with anger. We should not deny it when we are angry. We should not let things build up. We should learn to deal with this angry emotion. Remember, if you get angry, when you get angry, it's all right to be angry, but don't sin in it. And this is a command, not a suggestion. There are two ways to deal with anger. One is sin and one is not sin. This is all about doing the right thing the right way. There's a difference between holding anger back, and there's a difference between holding anger back and holding anger in. When we hold it back, we are taking time. When we're holding it back, we're just saying, okay, I'm just going to step back for a moment and try to process this. When we hold it in, we try to ignore it and say it doesn't matter, when in fact it does matter. It doesn't help when we deny someone is upset with us and try to ignore it. And we try to hold it in, and just at one point it just erupts over something really simple and mundane, but everything has been building up all the while because you've held it in. It can make you physically sick. Resentment is nothing more than stored and stuffed anger. Resentment is a result of holding anger in. Some people are so out of touch with their anger. You say, hey, dude, are you angry? No, I'm not angry. Have you ever ran into someone like that? They just have so much anger built up inside. They're just like saying, are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Why? I'm not encouraging anyone to hold anger in, but to hold anger back. When you take time to cool off and pray about it, God gets involved. And I know that it's really easy to preach it. It's really easy to say it, but it's another thing to do it. What would it look like if all of a sudden somebody's like, they're making you angry and you're just about ready to go there? Words that used to come out of your mouth so easy back in your BC days are starting to come up. Okay, some of you would never thought. What would it look like if somebody is getting you to that point and you step back and just, not to laugh to insult them, but, oh, Father, I'm about to take it somewhere that it doesn't need to go. First, you'll get a look from the person who's making you angry, like, what? Sometimes God lets you know supernaturally that a person who got you angry is struggling and needs some understanding. Sometimes he lets you know that the person who hurt you needs to be confronted about their behavior. Sometimes he may just tell you to let it go and forgive that person. There are times that people say things and do things that you need to say, okay, I'm not going to vent to that person. I'm going to go to a friend and say, hear me. I just received this and I'm about to blow a gasket. And that friend, being the true friend, will say, go ahead, bring it. Okay, whoa. Hang on, Pastor. Instead of me being angry at that person, I can go to a friend and say, hey, hear me. There's a right ways to release your anger, and there are wrong ways. In Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back. In the NIV, it says, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And even another version of the NIV says, but the wise bring calm to an end. There's a right way to deal with anger. Here's a few ideas, all right? Be honest when you are hurt. Don't hold it in. If you're hurt, just say, hey, I am hurt. Wait and slow down. James says in his epistle, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And while you're waiting, pray and listen. If you're going to talk to someone and let them know that they've angered you or you're angry with them, do it in person. Do it in person. Not necessarily on the phone. Definitely don't message PM, don't private message, don't text the person. If you write letters still, don't write it in a letter. If at all possible, do it face to face. I don't like doing things, sending a message of how I feel because I'm upset. Or maybe I'm not even upset, but when there's an emotion involved, I don't like to text because the person on the other end might receive it a different way than what I intended. I don't know what type of day they've had. They may look at this as like, oh, geez, what is this? I don't know where their heart is when they receive a text. I'm telling you, if at all possible. Go to them face to face. Let them know that what they said was hurtful or inappropriate, and that you would not want them to do it again. Whether they own up to it or not, whether they deny it or not, you do your part. Always be respectful. This can make a difference between doing the right thing the wrong way. And then if they continue that same behavior, you need to take more drastic action. Maybe, yes, you need to set boundaries. Saying, okay, I've done what I can. I've reached out to them. But nothing positive is happening. So maybe there needs to be some boundaries. Doing the right thing the wrong way can easily cause harm. Doing the right thing the right way will bring forth good fruit and advance the kingdom of God. While anger is a natural emotion, we need to remember that even moderate anger can hurt others. We venture into the realm of sin when our anger translates into words or into actions that hurt other people. When our anger flares into wrath, becomes uncontrollable, motivated by hatred and revenge, it can lead to words or actions that have irreparable damage. I heard someone say to me, "Hurt people hurt people." Someone who is hurt, the things that come out of their mouth hurt others. Lastly, when it comes to anger, learning how to do the right thing the right way is very important. We learn how to hold back, but not hold anger in, because holding it in will crush us like a bug. Our Heavenly Father calls us to obedience. He wants us to do the right thing the right way. And it doesn't matter who you are, because we see this in the case of Moses. He was the leader. And like I said last week, he holds leaders accountable because they know better. Well, they should know better. Be obedient to what Father is calling you to do. Do the right thing. Father in heaven, as we come to a close in our time together, Father, I pray that each of us will take what has been said, the example that Moses portrayed. I pray that we would learn from that. That although there is a relationship with our Heavenly Father and Moses, it was something that people dreamed about. Moses was held accountable. And God wanted Moses to be obedient. And when he wasn't, then he had to face the circumstances. Father, as children of God, I pray that we would be obedient to your word and that people will see you in us in the way that we act. In your name I pray. Amen.